This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I was asked to speak about the gift of tshuva. One thing we know for sure, the earlier generations, they had a lot more emunah than we have. They believed in everything in the Torah with much greater conviction than we believe. We have a lot going for us. Our level of Torah education is pretty high in Jewish history. Nevertheless, when it comes to emunah, they were on a much greater level than we're on. But it's very unusual. It's almost bizarre. If you look in the Navi, do you know how many times Hashem had to send the Nevi'im to tell Klal Yisrael, you know, if you did an Avera and you do tshuva, it's going to work. It's going to work. Don't question it. Don't wonder about it. It's actually going to work. The system works. I don't think we have any questions about the system. We go to shul, we clap ourselves, and we feel pretty confident that whatever we're going to do on Yom Kippur, it's going to do the job. Nobody ever thinks, you know, is it really going to work? Is it really going to take away my avera? You know, when it comes to tshuva, we have so much emunah in tshuva. And yet in the times of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, it's almost as if they couldn't believe it. They couldn't accept it as fact. I want to share with you a very interesting question. Somewhat of a complex question, but I think this is a chashuva olam. I think you'll be able to understand. Okay, it's a halachic question. You know, back in the day, when we had a bezdin, there was something called capital punishment. You know, if somebody was warned, don't desecrate Shabbos. You have a guy, you know, he's eating a watermelon, and you say, don't take out those seeds. You know, you can't do butter on the seeds. And he says, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. He said, pal, we're warning you. Don't take out the seeds. It's boira. No, I'm going to care. Let me see what's going to happen. If we warn someone, we could take him to court, and Bezdin could actually administer capital punishment. Imagine if the guy, as they're about to, you know, push him off the roof, he says, oh, what are you doing? He said, Rabiyad, you know, we're giving you capital punishment. He says, why? Guess what I'm about to do? Chatasi, avisi, pashati lefanecha. I'm doing tshuva. I'm doing tshuva. And you know, if you do tshuva, it's like you never did an avera. And if you do tshuva out of love, it's like it turned into a mitzvah. So what do you think you're doing to me? What does Bezdin do to the guy? Does Bezdin let him off the hook? Bezdin doesn't let him off the hook. But he did tshuva. Doesn't tshuva work? Doesn't tshuva help? Why doesn't tshuva seem to work in all situations? And that's because we have a little bit of a misunderstanding of what exactly tshuva accomplishes. You know, when the elevator was invented, the Chafetz Chaim was very excited with the elevator. So, you know, Chafetz Chaim, what are you so excited about the elevator? The Chafetz Chaim says an elevator is a perfect analogy to tshuva. Because all you need to do is take one small step. Put your best foot forward. Identify something small in what we do that we can improve on. Put your foot forward. Press the button. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam will carry you all the way up. Wow, is it really that easy? The Chafetz Chaim says, if you put your best foot forward, it could really be that easy. But it's more than what we think. You like gematrias? Let's start with that. Okay, but this is what I call like gematria 2.0, okay? Everybody knows the Gemara in Masech Yuma, Amar Reb Levi, Gedoyla tshuva shemagas ad. How great is tshuva? It reaches all the way to Kisei HaKavod. That's right. Very good. It reaches all the way to the throne of glory. Did you ever wonder, why does tshuva have to go up so far? Why does it have to reach the Kisei HaKavod? Why does tshuva have to reach the Kisei HaKavod? Does the Gemara say, chesed is so great, it reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKavod? Now the Gemara doesn't say that. But I'm sure Hashem sees it, but it doesn't say it reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. Does it say, Gedoyla Torah, Shemagas at Kisei HaKavod, Torah is so great, it reaches to the throne of glory? Does it say that about any mitzvah? Why is it that only tshuva is so great that it reaches all the way up to the Kiseh HaKavod. I'll ask you another question, a little trivia. Does anybody know? The only Sefer of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, where at the end of the Sefer it tells you how many psukim are in the Sefer. Sefer Devarim. How many psukim are in Sefer Devarim? 955 psukim in Sefer Devarim. Gematria, and I wasn't even going to go here, but Hashamayim, the heavens. So you say, what? How is Hashamayim 955? Hey is 5, Shin is 300, Mem is 40, Yud is 10, and a final Mem, an end of Mem, is 600. You know about that? Because a Tuf is 400, a final Chaf is 500, a final Mem is 600, a final Nun is 700, a final Pei is 800, final Tzadi is 900, and then Aleph becomes 1,000. So it's a never-ending cycle. So the word Hashamayim is 955. There are 955 psukim in Sefer Devarim. What's the significance of that? Why do I need to know that? Why does it say that at the end of the Torah? There are 955 psukim in Sefer Devarim. If I could talk a little bit about current events. You know, we hear about the enemy, and it's a new kind of enemy. You know, in the past, when there was war, there were armies, there were forces above ground. But who ever heard of an enemy digging labyrinths of elaborate tunnels, underground tunnels, 25 feet deep into the ground, with so deep and so wide they could drive trucks through them, with enough food to last for years? Hundreds of miles of tunnels in Gaza, in Lebanon. We never heard of such a thing. And I'm thinking to myself, if there's a new enemy in our history, it has to be that Klal Yisrael has an opposing force that could counteract this. Whenever something arises in the nations of the world, we are always given the opposing force. So we need to identify, if there's a new enemy and a new technique, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling us? What does he want from us? What's he asking of us? I don't know if you remember, but exactly 10 years ago, on Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Ayin Hei, I remember reading this 2 months before Rosh Hashanah, 10 years ago. There were 3 Israeli boys that were kidnapped. And because of that, they had to go into Gaza and search for them. And it was the first time they found the tunnels. So they go into the tunnels, they rescued these 3 boys, and they saw for the first time this elaborate network of labyrinths of tunnels. And they captured a few Hamas terrorists, and they interrogated them. And the interrogation is a very rigorous process. You know, this guy Sinwar, you know, they interrogated him back in the day, a few years ago. Somebody interrogated him for 180 hours. Can you imagine? That's what kind of interrogation we're talking about. So they interrogated these terrorists, and they said, you know, you have this elaborate network of tunnels. What were you going to do with these tunnels? And they were shocked to hear what the plan was. They had been building, this goes back 10 years, they had been building the tunnels for 12 years. And during the course of these 12 years, the plan was they were waiting for a Rosh Hashanah 12 years later. Why Rosh Hashanah? It's the only 2-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, when almost everyone goes home, even the soldiers go home, and people's guards are off. And they were going to come and put in every tunnel a dozen terrorists. A dozen terrorists would capture 100 civilians. The plan was to capture the entire country. This was in the news 10 years ago. I could show you the article. Once the majority of the state of Israel would be in the tunnels, they couldn't bomb the tunnels because the entire population would have been in the tunnels. But because the boys were kidnapped, they had to go into Gaza and they discovered the tunnels. and they thought they did a good enough job and nothing would ever happen again. And for the last 10 years, I've always been thinking about these tunnels. You know, you never heard of such a thing. Not in World War I, not in World War II, not in the Crusades, not in the Inquisition. Like, what is Ribbono Shel Olam telling us all of a sudden in the end of days, in our times, the enemy has this elaborate network of tunnels? And then something hit me very recently. I always knew that, you know, Klal Yisrael has a different koyach of tunnels. I remember reading my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, whose yahrzeit was on Tzayim Gedalia. She was the daughter of the last Rav of Sachachev. She remembers seeing the Shemesh Shmuel. She remembers seeing Gedolim before the war. And her father, the Rav of Sachachev, was taken to the Warsaw Ghetto with her mother and the children, and they had no food. And there were these sewers, tunnels, leading from the Warsaw Ghetto to Warsaw proper. And my grandmother would climb through these tunnels in the middle of the night to leave the city, get milk and bread and medicine for her parents. So I remember when I was hearing about these tunnels, I remember thinking, you know, Yidden use tunnels for other things. We use tunnels to bring life to other people. And then I remember reading a story about 1941. You know, the Nazis closed down all the mikvahs in the entire city of Warsaw. And what's going to happen Erev Yom Kippur? People have to go to the mikvah. So you know, they had a building, a bombed out building. And we have an account, a Yid snuck into the building. He dug a tunnel from building A to building B. He crawled through the tunnel. And in building B, and outside there were Nazis on motorcycles with sidecars ready to shoot on sight. And this man says that after he dug this tunnel, 3,000 Yidden followed him to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur through the tunnel. You know, so we use tunnels for other things. But then I saw something incredible that really put this into perspective. Something in the Peleoids. Did you ever hear the Sefer Peleoids? Peleoids is one of the classic Musar Svarim, maybe not as well known. He quotes a statement by Rav Shalom Sharabi. Rav Shalom Sharabi is one of the great Mekubalim. Rav Shalom Sharabi is talking about the Yom Naram. He says, you know, if you hear the Shofar, and you fast on Yom Kippur, and you daven all day, do you know what you will accomplish? Nothing. Unless you also do tshuva. If you do not add just a bit of tshuva into the mix, then you cannot give koyach not to the shofar and not to the fasting and not to the davening. You must do tshuva, just a little bit of tshuva, even a tiny bit of tshuva. He says that a tiny bit of tshuva during these 10 days will be as powerful as a tremendous amount of tshuva any other time. But then he asks, really? Just a little bit of tshuva? Just a tiny bit of tshuva? Why will just a tiny bit of tshuva be effective? Hashem is going to accept just a small, measly amount of tshuva? Says of Shom Sharabi, let me explain to you how tshuva works. You see, when we try to improve, when we try to correct something small, the Malachi Asharei say, Ribbono Shel Olam, this person has only accepted upon themselves not to speak Lashon Hara at the Shabbos day Suda. That's so little, that's so nothing. And what's going to be the rest of the week? And what's going to be the rest of Shabbos? This person has only accepted upon themselves to say one extra bracha of Shemana Esrei a week with more kavana. Is that really valuable? And the angels are prosecuting the tshuva. They're attacking the tshuva. They're challenging the tshuva. So you know what the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do, says the Rashash? The Almighty has to make a tunnel from the heart of a Jew. And this tunnel is protected. It's guarded. The Malachim can't see what's going on. They can't notice it. They don't recognize it. All they see is a tunnel protected from your heart straight to the Kisei HaKavod. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts your tshuva. Did you ever hear that? Did you know how tshuva works? Did you know that the greatest gift in the whole world that it's almost impossible to believe that it actually works is tshuva, because as we're going to see, the angels don't like tshuva. You know who else doesn't like tshuva? Beis Din doesn't like tshuva. You know who else doesn't like tshuva? Nobody other than the Ribbono Shel Olam could understand how in the world this process works. You know, the Arizal writes, there's only one reference, really, to the mechanism of tshuva in the Nevi'im and Yeshaya, Perek Chaf Aleph, Amar Shomer, Asa Boiker V'gam Loila, the morning has come, and even the night. Im Tibayu and Bayu, if you want to do tshuva, ask the Arizal, what kind of word is this? Im Tibayu and Bayu, that's Aramaic. What's Aramaic doing in the Pasuk in Yeshaya? Im Tibayu and Bayu, says the Ari, because we're referring to tshuva. And the Malachim don't like tshuva. They say, Ribbono Shel Olam, aren't you a just king, a just judge? How could you accept a small, meager offering of tshuva? It's not right. It's not logical. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to hide tshuva from the angels. So he writes it in Aramaic, says the Arizal. There are 955 levels in heaven. Okay, I'm going to tell you a secret now. You're probably wondering, what's going on in those levels? That's what I'm here for today. I drove here all the way from Cedarhurst just to tell you what's going on in the nine. Now, I can only tell you about 900 of them. I don't know about the top 55. I'll tell you what I know. I can only tell you what I know. Can't do better than that. Then the first 900, it's busy. Oh boy, it's busy there. They're malachim. They're oifanim. They're srafim. They're chayos. A lot of stuff going on. Busy highways and byways. So you say, and what's going on in the top 55 levels of heaven? Says the Vilna Gaon, Hein Lashem Elokecha Hashamayim Ushmei Hashamayim. Hein. Hein is 55. Hein is 55. Hey and Nun. So you say, but didn't you just say the final Nun is 700? You remember? But it's also sometimes 50. Hein Lashem Elokecha Hashamayim Ushmei Hashamayim. The top 55 belong only to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are no malachim. Michal's not there, not Gavriel, not Uriel. None of those malachi asharis are in the top 55 levels of Shemayim. Did you know the Vilna Gaon says that the 955 psukim in Devarim correspond to the 955 levels of Shemayim? And Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, asked to have an understanding before he went up to Shemayim for good of the 955 levels of Shemayim. So Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu 955 psukim in Devarim. Wow! So the 901st pasuk must be something special, because that will correspond to the first level of Shemayim, that there are no malachim. It's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. Watch this. Do you know what the 901st pasuk in Sefer Devarim is? We just read it last week. Re'u, see, ata, now, ki ani, ani hu, it's me, ve'ein Elohim imadi, there are no malachim with me. Ayayim v'noira, says the Vilna Gaon, the 901st pasuk in Devarim corresponds to the 901st level of Shemayim, that no one is there except for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'm wondering, why doesn't he let anyone go there? He let everyone go in the first 900 levels. Like, why is that only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I want to share with you an incredible account of one of the most unusual stories of tshuva. Probably you even know it. The story of an individual who literally worshipped every god in the world except for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he was captured, and they put him in a pot, and they started to fire it up. and he started to be cooked. And he called out to every single god in the world. And nobody answered. So he said, in a brazen, what I would think, arrogant way, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not sure if you're there, but if you are, help. Chutzpah. I'm not sure if you're there. That's how you turn to Ribbono Shel Olam. Menashe, in his final moments, remembered a pasuk the Yerushalmi says that his father taught him. I remember my father told me that if you're in a bind, if you're in a jam, batzar lecho mitzaucha kol advar ma'ila, v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, whoa, he's doing tshuva! I can't believe it! The Malachim said, do you see something we don't see? That's not tshuva. That's not tshuva. He has no choice. You're his last avenue. He called out to every Avodah Zarah in the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, he's doing tshuva? And the Malachim wanted to blow up the tshuva. Says the Yerushalmi, so what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? Ma'asa lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chasar lo chasira mitachas kisei hakavod. Hashem dug a tunnel. And the tunnel went from the heart of Menashe all the way up to the kisei hakavod. And Hashem accepted the tshuva of Menashe. Because once the tshuva reaches the kisei hakavod, we don't have to deal with malachim. We don't have to deal with srafim. We don't have to deal with oifanim. We don't have to deal with entities that don't understand the process of tshuva. You see, the final 55 levels of shamayim under the kisei hakavod are reserved for the greatest gift the Ribbono Shel Olam ever gave you. Now, if you were to make a list, top 10 things in your life, you could make it. You don't have to hand it in to anybody. The gift of life itself. You have family, friends, that Hashem gave us the Torah, health. You know what the number one gift should be? The greatest gift the Ribbono Shel Olam ever gave Klal Yisrael is the gift of tshuva. Because it's a gift that has eternal dividends. The Gemara tells us the happiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. And I know we don't necessarily think this way. Some people think, wake me up Sunday when this is all over. Let me know when this is all over. I can't wait until after. We're not going to say it. We're not even going to say you're thinking it. But some people think that way. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, actually, the happiest day of the year is Yom HaKippurim. It's the happy, do you think in those terms? Do you think, I can't wait to make that Shechiyanu on Yom Kippur, Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh, to take advantage of the greatest gift the Ribbono Shel Olam ever gave Klal Yisrael, the gift of tshuva? Because if we do even the smallest amount of tshuva, it has eternal repercussions. We'll be different forever. You know, Chazal tell us, they asked Chachma, what should happen if somebody does an Avera? They asked, you know, the institution of wisdom. What should happen if somebody doesn't? Chachma says someone does an Avera, he's done. They have to be destroyed. They asked the prophets, they asked the Nevi'im, what should be the fate of someone who sins? Prophet said, fate, what are you supposed to do? Nothing you can do about it. They have to be destroyed. The Yalkut Shimoni adds, they asked the Torah, what should be the fate of someone who doesn't have the Torah? Says, I don't know. How are you supposed to correct such a thing? How do you correct that? Imagine, you know, what should be the fate? I had one of my cameras. I dropped the camera. The camera broke. What should we do with the camera? What should we do? We should throw it in the garbage. There's nothing you could do with it. Nobody could. You can't fix. They don't fix these things. You drop it, it breaks, it's done. By the way, there is no institution in this world where if you do something wrong, you say, oh, I really feel bad about it. Yeah, sure you feel bad about it. You really should, because you're done. You're finished. Imagine a criminal. They're about to lock him up. He tells the judge, you know, I did it, and I really feel bad, and I'm never going to do it again. So the judge said, yeah, of course you're never going to do it again. Behind bars, you can never do it again. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the opportunity to do tshuva is the greatest gift, says the Medrash. Sha'alu l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They asked the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Ma yaseh adam sheyechta. What could a person do if they did an avera? Hashem gave an etzah that the Nevi'im didn't give, that Chachma didn't give, that the Torah itself cannot give. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, yaseh tshuva. That's the reason why tshuva has to reach the Kisei HaKavod. Because if it goes anywhere else, it ain't going to work. It can't work. That's why the top 55 levels of Shamayim, no one is there but the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's designated for you, for your tshuva. And every time you have a thought, you know, I could have said that better to my friend. Maybe I could have been a little bit more sensitive. Next time I speak to her, I'm going to say it in a little bit of a softer tone. I'm going to say it with a little bit more sensitivity. From now on, I feel bad how I've been speaking to her. The moment you do that, the Ribbono Shel Olam instantly creates a tunnel from your mind, from your heart, all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. And the Malachim can't see, and nobody could see, and nobody could question. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's done, taken care of. It's a tunnel. And did you know that the mitzvah of tshuva is not really just reserved for Yom Kippur? I don't have time to go through this whole chapter of the topic, but I just want to share with you Rosh Prakim. Everybody knows, how often are you supposed to do tshuva? I'll do tshuva every day because, you know, you never know. Is it just every day? Is it just every day? You know, the Reishis Chachma writes, before you eat, have a thought of tshuva. Eating is a special time. It's a holy time. You're enjoying Hashem's bounty. Before you eat, have a thought. Be maharher b'tshuva. The Chida writes, before every mitzvah you do, have a thought of tshuva. You know, there's an idea. Before the day is over, before you go to sleep at night, have a thought of tshuva. There's an idea before Shabbos comes, before the week is over, have a thought of tshuva. Anybody know, what do we call Erev Rosh Chodesh? Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yom Kippur Katan. Some people say it, some people don't say it. I'm going to give you a little trick. It only takes 1 second to do Yom Kippur Katan. You know what all you need to do? Ribbono Shel Olam, before the month is over, I would like to do tshuva for this month. You did it. You are Mahar B'tshuva. Before the year is over, you have a thought of tshuva. That's a pretty complex network of tunnels that we're making throughout the year. If every act of tshuva is a tunnel that we create to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a pretty sophisticated and complex network that the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking of us. And if we're seeing in our times the power of the enemy and where it's coming from, is it possible the Ribbono Shel Olam saying the time has come for me to remind Klal Yisrael of the power that we have, of the koyach that we have, and there is no question that our power is much greater than theirs? And if we, on Yom Kippur, are able to really create that special tunnel between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to tell you a little secret. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has an awesome chiddush. He was the first person who even created this chiddush. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught, you don't even have to do tshuva for a complete avera. What you could do is, you could do tshuva for part of an avera. And you could say like this, I'm not necessarily on the Madrega that I could give my absolute commitment that I'll never do X, Y, or Z again. But I know sometimes when I do that, it's easy for me not to do it. And sometimes when I do it, it's harder for me not to do it. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught the first step of tshuva is to say, you know, this year, when it's easy for me not to do the Avera, I'm not going to do the Avera. Because really, we're much more accountable when we do the Avera, when it was easy for us not to do it, than if it's hard for us. So the good first step, and the most important first step, is to accept upon yourself, you know, this year, when it's easy for me not to do a certain thing that I can improve on, I'm not going to do it. You know what kind of tunnel you're going to build, bring to the Ribbono Shel Olam? You know what kind of tshuva you offered? You know what kind of gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you? You will change the entire world. Gedoyla tshuva shemekareves es ha'agula. This is the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. This is a gift the Malachim don't understand. This is a gift the Torah itself doesn't understand. It's only between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, I'll end. Rav Meir Shapiro once came into a city, and I hate when they do this. If I'm invited to speak somewhere, I don't like when they tell me what to speak about. I want to speak about whatever, you know, whatever I want to speak about. I don't like suggestions. Unless, of course, over here. But, no. They speak about this topic and say over this story, and it should be this long. Okay, so you don't need me. You already have the home. I don't. But they did that to Meir Shapiro. They gave him, they said, we want you to come to the city, speak for 5 minutes about Matoivu. Okay, speak about Matoivu. You know, what does Rashi say on the words Matoivu? Bilam, when he looked at Klal, he saw Ra'a, he saw She'en Pischehem Mechuvanos. He saw the doorways of the Jewish people were not perfectly aligned, so that I can't yenta into their house and they can't look into my house. He saw the modesty of the Jewish people. But Rav Meir Shapiro interpreted this somewhat homiletically. He says there are two doorways in this world. There's the doorway that Hashem opens for us, and there's the doorway that He asks us to open for Him. When the Ribbono Shel Olam opens doors for us, He opens them very wide. He gives us tremendous siyata d'shmaya. But the doorway Hashem asks us to open is a tiny little doorway. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to us, just make one small improvement and I will open up the whole world for you. And Bilam said, that's not fair. The doorways are not aligned. That's not right. Why, Ribbono Shel Olam, do you have so much rachamim on Klal Yisrael if they just open up their hearts just a little bit? You know what we call this gift? Tshuva. You want to know what tshuva is like? Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's like the elevator. But we have to take the time to identify one, two, three areas that we could make some significant improvement, something real. The Bali Musar would say, write it down. Write down a few things that you think you could do this year. That will create such a powerful effect in Shamayim. Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zoicha to make real tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, and may the Ribbono Shel Olam accept it. Besoich sha'ar tshuvas Yisrael, and we should be zoicha to the great bracha of Gedoyla tshuva shemekareves es ha'geula. Agamar chasim ha'tayva. Thank you very much. Okay, that's it.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.